everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. And Audrey, I should have, before we hit record, your last name, I am totally going to slaughter. So you can introduce yourself a little bit better than I can.
Okay, I'm Audrey Trepiccioni.
And then, yeah, tell us about your midwifery journey. I appreciate you getting on with me today.
Well, I've been a CPM since 1998. And I kind of came to midwifery quite by my own necessity. I'm the mother of 10 children. So it was really important for me to get to know the local midwife. And I was always at prenatals anyway. So I just ended up learning from her. And then when the CPM program came about, we were very excited because we knew that traditionally trained midwives could be certified. And since that time, of course, it's grown and grown. And we did the midwifery bridge certificate, and we have added on as much as we could to our credential to make it the mainstay for the whole country and for Canada too.
Yeah, I think it's amazing just learning the history. I had no idea. I mean, CPM had only been around since 2001, and like just learning, I'm learning so much in these interviews from the other great ladies that I just, the knowledge and the history of midwifery, we read a few bits in books, but you're passing on so much knowledge of the history that us young bees just don't know about.
Yeah. And so home birth midwives were not very available at all. I knew we needed more of them. And the more midwives there were, the more women who could choose it. And then when the internet came along, wow, the floodgates were opened because now we could really connect and communicate. But we still, to this day, even with social media and everything, we still get most of our clients through word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. Yeah, and I think that's that vicious cycle with newbies starting out because they're like, oh, I'm not getting that busy, because most of the time it's you've got to get a few births in a couple of years under your belt, or you're able to leverage off a waiting list somebody else has, and if you can springboard that way.
Right. I recently came to South Carolina because I felt like the area was really growing and the need was great. And I didn't already have a client base like I did in my home state. So as I trained more midwives and they graduated and grew up and started their own practices, I really felt like it was a good time for me to make a change, to make a move to where I wanted to live and serve the community I wanted to be in. And I'm really passionate about teaching midwives. I've always had students, but now I feel like I can really do it because the practice is a little slower paced and I don't have young children at home anymore. So I can spend more time with my students. And so I created a couple of workshops that anyone could take, a student, a midwife to brush up on her skills, and just offered that locally. And I would even offer to travel to the midwife's town so that they wouldn't have to leave their clients. And so the busier I get here, the less I'm able to do that. But I'm still really interested in teaching midwives. I think that's an important thing for the future.
Yeah. And it's not just the clinical component. I mean, the skills and those emergency things, but it's also the work-life balance. It's the business. It's the professional development. I think some preceptors are a little better at all aspects than others.
Right. I'll meet midwives who are so good at their computer skills and their managerial skills. And I really envy that because we were paper and pen, you know?
Yeah.
So being one of the older midwives, I always like having someone come alongside me who's really internet savvy.
Well, and I think sometimes we forget, it's not just a one-sided relationship with a preceptor. Like they're bringing the evidence, they're bringing some skills to bring, like maybe initially they're a little more work, but long-term a student adds so much value to your practice. If you got little projects or there's things you're not very good at, they can work on for you for sure.
Oh yes. And they keep you on your toes. They're like, yeah. Now where did you find the rationale for that? What's the evidence for that? And here's what I've heard now. So that's really helpful to my practice as well, because they're up on all the new stuff.
So if I may ask, what was your prior state and why you said it fit your more lifestyle? What made you pick South Carolina?
Well, I lived in North Carolina almost all my life. I was born there. But my mother's family was from South Carolina. So when I had my first baby, I lived in South Carolina, and I really would have liked to have a midwife. They were one of the only states that never, they always had licensed midwives. They never had illegal midwives. North Carolina, I worked there 20 years. We tried to pass the law. We worked and worked on several bills, and we just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. And that's where I just interviewed Christine Reynolds about that. I was there last fall doing the birth center conference and just talking about how do we, in a state where you're illegal or illegal, and you need to start making collaborations and momentum, or, okay, you're trying to campaign for 20 years. Is there a different angle you can approach it at? Where's the barrier it always gets hooked up at? So yeah, so we had some really cool conversations about the goods and bads of states that have no regulations. So
I worked in Virginia for a few years too as a travel midwife. And recently I was really blessed to have a student who was coming on that needed supervision to finish up some of her births. And it was just a perfect fit. You know, the other midwife was too busy, and I had some clients. So she was able to come along in that last leg, and I was able to give her a lot more nurturing experience, you know, and having several different preceptors is beneficial to students, because they learn more than one way of doing things, and they can just really tap your strengths. You know, you're not responsible.
They pull all the gems and they say, okay, I see that style, and I see how she's burnt out and exhausted. I know what not to do, and I know what to do.
Right. They really have a way of being able to glean the best from all the different preceptors. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, when you had mentioned you did traveling midwife in Virginia, I know the nurse midwife realm of locum assignments, but what does it look like for a traveling midwife on a certified professional midwife route?
Well, because I lived near the state line, that's why I was able to travel across the border and work under a license there.
So you were just kind of helping out the other midwives in the area. Like when you say travel, it's more just, okay, filling in for them and helping out. And
whenever they were off call, I would be on call for their clients and that sort of thing. Okay. Yeah.
So you're kind of the backup midwife for the community and helped fill in the needs. Very cool.
Yeah,
I wish we had more midwives that did that. Like I hear so much of the need. I mean, on a nationwide level, I can't get a vacation. Everybody's so busy. They can't back me up. Or if I back them up, we've got two busy practices. I can't physically cover. Like we need more traveling midwives. So maybe you and I afterwards will have to talk a business model, because there's such a need for it.
Yeah, there really is.
So what have you loved? How long have you been in South Carolina now? I know you said you moved and you started your practice.
Since March. So not quite a year yet.
Okay. And you feel like your practice is growing well and setting up how you want?
Yes. I was licensed here a year before I actually moved here. And what I did was just research, you know, the regulations, get to know all the midwives. I joined PALM, the Palmetto Association of Licensed Midwives, right away, offered my expertise, just got voted in as their vice president. And I feel like I was able to bring some skills to the area and some support, you know, and some fresh energy, and plus my experience they liked.
Very, very cool. If I may ask, what is your current practice volume? Because everybody is so different. I feel extreme. Some midwives say 3 is full time. And then I hear other midwives tell me they do 15. And I'm like, how do you do that? So I would love to know like what your practice looks like, the structure, just so people can hear the different variations out there.
Okay. Well, there's 3 midwives in the area, and we all cooperate. And we cover a large swath of the state, each of us about an hour or two from our clients potentially. And I really like one a week. I think 3 or 4 a month is just fine. That way I am able to help another midwife if she's got extra that month. And I'm almost at my goal of 4 a month. So
cool. And you didn't have to do, because I know typically it's like a referral thing. So you're new to the area. Did you get more referrals from the other midwives? Was it a marketing campaign you did?
Well, the marketing campaign was small, but it was powerful. Mm-hmm. Google has been very, very good to me.
Good.
That's really all I had to do. Not all I had to do, but I had to, get the website together, put my self on Google, put the office on the map, and the phone started ringing. But also, I am taking some overflow from the other midwives if they're just too busy that week. Yeah. Or if I'm geographically closer to them,
it makes sense.
Yeah. And then that way she doesn't have to be so far away from her other clients. So mm-hmm. I'm really thankful to be in a group where we can cooperate so closely. And plus, we are working on collaborations with physicians. So mm-hmm. we all want to be on the same page about that.
Yeah. I was just talking with one of my other, it's unfortunately across the country. I think with COVID, we're having a lot more complications, clots, stillbirths, and sad things happen. And we were talking about how important, like not just the physicians, but EMS to have some meetings with and be proactive, not reactive after things happen. And I think it's been amazing what you're doing. Cause I hear so many midwives move to an area and they're like, I don't know anybody, but you took the initiative a year in advance before moving to the area. So it just shows how you run a practice and your style and your philosophy is much more proactive versus reactive.
Yes, COVID changed a lot of things. I had the plans in the work and then COVID hit. So I was really a full year behind where I wanted to be as far as moving down because all kinds of things went sideways with the shutdown.
Yeah. I think everybody's life, the stories we'll have in the history books looking at this like crazy times and when you live through it, you just have no choice. You just do it. But then after it happens, you're like, wow, like that was, we all had to adjust for sure. So you mentioned the three midwives. How do you feel like the hospital community and the physicians, have they been pretty supportive or is it somewhere where it's a work in progress?
It's a work in progress. Some of them are a little bit concerned. I think that there are more midwives and more people seeking that option and are less likely to cooperate. But we are licensed here. And so there's a certain measure of respect that I believe happens. We have called and reached out to the local EMS. They haven't gotten back to us yet. I just need to follow up. I probably got the fundraiser guy. You know, and not the chief. But yes,
stop by with a plate of cookies. That's a powerful impact.
Yes. I did have to call EMS one time when I was here in a new town and they were so kind. I didn't need them by the time they got up the steps.
Yeah, but that's the whole point is you'd much rather be proactive. And if you don't need them when they get there, awesome, great. We got to introduce. And you know, the EMS would much rather be called any day of the week when it has to do with labor that you don't need them by the time they get there.
I couldn't believe how happy they were about a baby, you know, and they're
it's funny because they're thinking of all these things in their head as they're driving there and then they get there and find out everything's okay. You just won the lottery for them.
Yep.
So yes.
Yep. So that's been a good experience.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have been such an honor, Audrey, to meet you. Is there any words of wisdom for midwives or inspiring midwives? Because I think just with doing it for so long, I mean, burnout's happening so much and people aren't taking students much because they're in so much of a survival. I would love some of your words of wisdom to midwifery practices out there or people thinking about it.
Well, I can tell you personally for me, there were times when you just have to take a break. You're going to feel like giving up. Don't give up. Surround yourself with plenty of support. Practice your self-care. Put your family first. Mm-hmm. You know, it in the long run, that will pay off if you go a little bit slower and a little bit more. I remember feeling like, what is stopping me from being the best midwife I can be? Yeah. And when I was able to look at those kinds of things, often it was just too much extracurricular responsibility. And I just needed to focus on what the next most important thing was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's pretty general, but people can apply that to their life.
They can, and everybody's situation is different. I always joke, I was like, midwives think we're super women. We do a really good job of taking care of everybody else but ourselves. We work so hard to try to be everything, but then we feel guilty when we do a bath or we want a day off or we want to have a little bit of our own time. Like we have to, I think as women in a whole, but then especially midwives, because we want to be the best of the best, but it's actually a reverse way. The better you take care of yourself, you eat better, you sleep better, you're going to be smarter. You're going to be more motivated. You're going to be better to everybody else. So it's a mind shift. Yes. And it's habit changing for sure.
I'm really thankful to be in a group too, because yes, if we have a wedding, if we have a funeral, if we have one of our own daughters giving birth, you know, we really want to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And it helps to have willing partners in the same
area. Community collaboration is huge. And some areas have a lot of midwives. And for those midwives that are trailblazers, creating it first in that community or only them in a 3-hour radius, I give them kudos. Like I don't know how they do it long-term. Like you said, it's hard to take a vacation. It's hard to have a good work-life balance. I personally had gone through that. Like when you choose a rural community, you push the limits of a radius and you just don't have as many backup options. So yeah, we need more midwives. We can get more collaboration. Yep. Set up. So I love it. I love it. Well, Audra, I appreciate your time greatly. It's been so awesome talking to you. And if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. But I appreciate all the advice and tips today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.